Welcome, dark friends, to the third episode in Eddie Bowen's continuing adventure in Wraiths of the Appalachian. If you stumbled into this program without knowing what's going on, like a zombie bursting mindlessly into a honeymoon suite, well done. But perhaps you'd like to back out and find the first episode. Feel free to grab some cake and punch on your way out. Otherwise, let's continue with episode 3, appropriately enough called Two's Company. Chapter 3, Two's Company. A low whine roused Eddie from a deep sleep. Even before opening his eyes, he knew it was morning. The devilish image was still fresh in his mind, even though it had happened many hours before. Eddie freed himself from his sleeping bag, which was damp with dew amid the pine needles and undergrowth of the surrounding woods, and sat up. Snarly Owl stared at him from a few feet away, and in the distance, beams of sunlight illuminated a few tendrils of smoke rising lazily from the remnants of his campfire. Eddie rubbed his face as he tried to clear his head and then looked at Snarly Owl. "How did I end up over here in the brush, Snarly? I know I bedded down near the fire. Did that crazy demon move me without me knowing it? Or am I doing some creative sleepwalking along with my nightmares?" The big dog cocked its head as it continued to stare at Eddie. "You got no opinion on this, huh, boy? Well, what do you say we pack up and go get some breakfast? I think I've had enough of this place." As Eddie rose and gathered his bedroll, Snarly Owl turned and trotted off into the same patch of woods from which he had first appeared. A sense of sadness washed over Eddie as he watched the dog go. "Guess he's heading home after all. Well, at least I had some company for a while." Eddie dropped his rolled sleeping bag by the cooler and then stared more closely at the disturbed dirt around the campfire. Prints from Eddie's hiking boots as well as those of the large hound were clearly visible, but there were other marks too. Eddie knelt down to inspect one print more closely. "I'm no farmer, but those don't look like regular paw prints to me, more like something a hoof might leave." A chill ran through Eddie as he remembered the frightening devil in his dream. A rustling in the leaves made Eddie turn quickly and then smile with relief. Snarly Owl broke into the clearing with another rabbit in his mouth. "Ah, smart move, my friend. A McBreakfast probably isn't exactly your thing. But you're going to have to finish that here, because I'm not getting blood all over the van." Snarly wagged his tail twice and settled himself in the dirt where he eagerly tore into the unfortunate hair. Eddie examined the odd tracks around the fire once more and then shook his head. He turned in a circle as he searched the woods with narrowed eyes, but then, satisfied that no one else was present, he walked a short distance into the brush to relieve himself. By the time he had returned to the campsite, Snarly Owl was licking his paws and removing the last signs of his meal. Eddie slung his backpack of supplies onto his back, tucked the sleeping bag under his arm, and picked up his guitar in the small cooler. "Okay, my friend, it's my turn, but I prefer my breakfast to be cooked. You're welcome to come with me if you want." Eddie headed down the trail that led back to the highway and smiled when he saw the big black dog following. When they reached the van, Snarly Owl watched as Eddie stowed his gear and then looked up at his new companion with what seemed like hopeful eyes to Eddie. Eddie opened the side door and said, "Well, you coming with me?" The wolfhound jumped into the van and settled himself on the passenger bucket seat. Eddie grinned and pulled out his phone to snap a photo of his new road buddy. Eddie shut the door and walked around the van and positioned himself behind the wheel. Before he could get his seatbelt buckled, his phone vibrated in his pants pocket. Eddie frowned at the short text message. "You okay?" Eddie stared at it for a moment and then typed a brief reply. "Really not sure. Had a strange night, but I still feel like this is what I need to do." "Are we okay?" Eddie stared at his phone again and rubbed his face before replying. "Yeah, this is just me needing some space to figure things out." He looked over at Snarly Owl, who was watching him very intently. Eddie clicked on his saved photos and brought up the one he had just taken of the dog. He sent it to Renee along with some text. "Check out my new friend." In just a few seconds, she replied, "Very funny. Check out my new boyfriend." A photo of the empty chair where Eddie always drank his morning coffee popped up next. Eddie's eyes narrowed as he stared at the photo. He let out a breath, shook his head, and then slid his phone back in his pocket. He fished his keys out of his other front pocket and started the van. Looking over at Snarly, who was still watching every movement with great interest, he said with forced cheerfulness, "So, where to next? Got any suggestions?" The dog stared at Eddie and panted with his mouth open. "Well, I need some breakfast, and we both need more supplies for this road trip. But which way do we head?" Eddie looked at the radio without reaching for it. "Do I really want to hear that voice again?" Taking a deep breath, Eddie flipped the radio on. After a few seconds of static, he turned the dial until he heard a voice reading the morning news. When the newscast continued uninterrupted, Eddie looked over at Snarly and said, "I guess we're on our own." He put the van in gear and pulled out onto the open highway, heading into the same direction he had been traveling the night before. When Eddie saw a 2-I-40 sign, he surprised himself by making the turn without a moment's hesitation. "Might as well head west, don't you think, Snarly?" The dog licked his lips and then turned his massive head to look out the side window at the passing scenery. "After we get me some breakfast, I need to get us both some supplies. Are you a gravy train kind of dog, or you prefer Alpo?" Snarly continued to look out the window. "Not a picky eater, I take it. Perfect." "Wonder what's going to happen when he sees another dog," Eddie wondered. "Or a person, for that matter. There's no way I could stop him if he chose to attack, especially without a leash." After Eddie had picked up his breakfast from the McDonald's drive-thru, with extra sausage that he shared with Snarly, he searched the shopping centers and stores along the highway for a superstore where he could get some groceries and a few basic dog supplies. Within minutes, the familiar red logo for ShopMore came into view, and Eddie pulled into a space far away from the entrance to the store in the huge parking lot with no other vehicles near it. "I'll just be a few minutes, boy," Eddie said as he rolled down the two front windows a third of the way and locked all the doors. "You be good, and I'll come back with a bowl so I can get you some water." Eddie grabbed one of the wheeled shopping carts at the front of the store and paused to scan the wide expanse of aisles. Seeing that the food section was on the far left, he headed in that direction first and loaded his cart with a 40-pound bag of dry dog food. He then quickly loaded up a variety of canned goods for easy preparation over a campfire and a couple of large jars of peanut butter. After adding a few cases of bottled water, he walked to the back of the store where he spotted a sign indicating the pet department. "Can I help you find anything, sir?" said a balding man with black-rimmed glasses who wore the company's traditional red vest as Eddie surveyed the range of dog collars that hung. "Yeah, a collar for a really large dog I just got." "Oh, new dog owner, huh?" The man beamed. "What kind is he?" He's here's a picture of him." Eddie pulled his phone out and clicked on his photos. He frowned as he looked at the last picture, which showed only the empty passenger seat in his van. "That's funny," he said as he scrolled through the photos. "I just took it this morning and sent it to my girlfriend. I know it's here." Well, after searching in vain and seeing only two photos of empty seats, his own chair in the apartment that Renee had sent and the empty passenger seat in the van, Eddie gave up and put the phone back in his pocket. "I guess I must have deleted it by accident." "No problem," said the sales clerk. "These collars over here will fit most large dogs." He picked a thick black collar with silver studs on it and handed it to Eddie. "This one has enough leather that you could even punch a few more holes in it if you needed to, but you're probably going to need a harness for him, especially since you say he's a big fellow. You don't want to choke him when you're restraining him." The clerk pulled a large harness from the rack across the aisle along with a sturdy leash and handed them to Eddie. "Yeah, thanks," Eddie said. "That'll work. I need to get a couple of bowls, too, for food and water." After the clerk helped Eddie find two suitable bowls, he asked, "Need anything else?" "I'm sure I do, but this will do for now, I guess." The clerk smiled and Eddie headed to the checkout lanes to make his purchases. Eddie was relieved to see that no one else had parked near the van, and he grinned as he saw Snarly's head pop up in the side window at the sound of the rattling wheels of Eddie's cart. Once Eddie had opened the door, Snarly hopped out and relieved himself on the back tire of the van. "Really? On the tires?" Eddie shook his head. Well, I probably ought to take advantage of this pit stop too, but I think I'd best just go back in the store. Let's get you some water first, though. Eddie filled one of the new bowls with water from his newly purchased packs and watched Snarly lap noisily as he sloshed the water onto the tarmac of the parking lot. When Snarly finally lifted his head up with water dripping down from his massive jaws, Eddie said, "Okay, Snarly, hop back in and settle down." When the dog did exactly as Eddie said, curling up on the floorboard between the front two seats, Eddie shook his head in amazement. Once they'd pulled out onto the highway again, Eddie said, "I've got no idea where we're heading, boy, but wherever we end up will be okay, I imagine." The radio cracked and popped, and then the familiar voice from the day before broke through.
"Good morning, Eddie."
"Morning yourself. Decide to sleep in a bit?"
"Thought I'd let you and your new companion have a little time to yourselves."
"Ah, I see," Eddie said as he glanced over at Snarly, whose ears had perked up at the sound of the new voice. "So, got any suggestions for where we go next?"
"West on I-40, just as you had planned, will be fine for now."
"How did you know I..." Eddie stopped himself and sighed. "Never mind." Eddie checked his rearview mirrors for a safe lane change to get into the turn lane that would take him to the interstate. They traveled in silence for about 15 minutes before Mr. D spoke again.
"If you're wondering, we should arrive at our next destination by 4 o'clock this afternoon, depending on the number of stops you make along the way."
"There might be a few extra given our new passenger." Eddie looked over at Snarly Owl, who had settled himself on the floorboard once again. "I'd rather not have to clean up dog poop or pee if I can help it. Especially not the amount this monster could make." The wolfhound lifted his head and seemed to glare at Eddie before settling himself again with a single loud huff.
"It was nice of you to invite Snarly Owl along for the trip."
"Is that his real name?"
"Real names are rarely known,"
Mr. D said. They rode in silence a while before Eddie asked his next question. "You seemed to know that I was going to meet him. Was that part of the plan all along, that Snarly would join me?" Only bits of static issued from the radio, but Snarly Owl thumped his tail twice on the floor of the van. "You two know each other?" Eddie asked. Neither Mr. D nor the dog responded. Again, they rode for a mile before anyone spoke. "Want to tell me where we're heading this time?" Eddie asked.
"Isn't it more fun to be surprised?"
"Doesn't help my anxiety much."
"But it's so much fun for me."
After a brief pause, Mr. D continued.
"Now, it's my turn to ask questions. Why are you so anxious, Eddie?"
Eddie's eyebrows shot up at the bluntness of the question. "What, you my shrink now?"
"You don't have to answer."
Eddie drove for a bit in silence. "There are a lot of reasons. The most immediate being I quit my job with no idea of what I want to do now."
"You weren't anxious before that?"
"Oh yeah, I was. I'm an anxious kind of guy."
"Does having Renee help you with that?"
Eddie felt a tingle run down his spine at the mention of her name, which turned immediately to anger. "How do you know about her?"
"The same way I know everything else."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"How do you know that it will get dark in several hours? Or that it will turn colder in a few months? How do you know what makes you laugh or cry?"
"That's not an answer."
"Would you rather not talk about Renee?"
"I think not."
"All right,"
Mr. D said, not unkindly.
"But perhaps you might think about that, and why you seem to be keeping everyone you care about at arm's length."
"What the hell are you talking about? Who else in your mysterious and infinite wisdom am I shutting out?"
"When's the last time you talked with your mother?"
Eddie clenched his teeth and his eyes narrowed. "I don't think I want to go there either," he said. "Not with you."
"Certainly. It's your choice, as always. Perhaps you'd prefer to just listen to some music for a while."
"Good idea." When the strains of an acoustic guitar filled the van, Eddie relaxed until he recognized the song as the one he had attempted to play the night before, his mother's favorite song. The rest of the ride was uneventful, the mile markers passing by in a seemingly endless procession. Eddie made 3 stops before he heard from Mr. D again, twice at highway rest stops and once for a drive-through again to get burgers for himself and Snarly. At a highway sign indicating an exit for Clyde and Waynesville, Mr. D spoke up.
take US 74 west.
Okay, Eddie said. His anger at Mr. D's personal questions and insinuations had abated, but he still felt a degree of apprehension with their resumed conversation. Seeing as we've still got a couple hours before our ETA, I'm assuming we're heading down to Georgia.
Smart boy.
I was never that fond of the Charlie Daniels song, and I don't play the fiddle. Just saying.
Duly noted. I can assure you that there are no scheduled competitions between you and the devil.
And yet, oddly enough, I still feel rather anxious, Eddie said as he made the exit that would take him to Highway 74.
Also noted. Perhaps if I share with you our destination, you'll be somewhat comforted.
Couldn't hurt.
You'll be staying at a state campground. Probably want to take your tent along with you this time.
Okay. Sounds cool. At least this way I know I won't be trespassing on somebody's land. Hope they allow dogs at this one.
Just ask for backcountry site number 4 when you check in at the campground office.
Man, you've got this all figured out, don't you? Mr. D did not answer. Well, since you've revealed this much, care to tell me which campground I'm looking for?
It's Fort Mountain State Park.
Nice. State parks usually have cabins, Eddie said.
They'll all be filled.
Any hints this time of who I might run into? I'd kind of appreciate a heads up this time. Only crackling static answered. At 4:15, Eddie pulled the van into a parking space nearest a small wood-paneled office. Two other cars sat unattended in the lot, and Eddie wondered if they might belong to staff at the campground. A plump woman with her thick, unruly red hair pulled into a somewhat untidy bundle at the top of her head smiled as Eddie entered and approached the counter. "Can I help you?" she asked as she rose from the desk where she'd been working. "I'd like to get a campsite," Eddie answered. "Have you got a reservation?" The woman grabbed a clipboard and pen from her desk without looking at them, a fluid move as she had obviously done thousands of times before. No, but I was hoping to get a specific site if I could. "Well, that should be doable this time of year, as long as you don't want a cabin." She glanced out the window to the parking lot. "And it doesn't look like you have a trailer." "Nope, camping pretty light. Might use my tent, but as long as there's a fire pit to cook on, I'm good." "I was hoping to get backcountry number 4. "Oh, I'm sure that's not a problem," the attendant said. "Not many people using the dispersed campsites right now, especially that one. It's the most remote one we've got. You have to hike in about a mile to get to it." Eddie sighed. "Sounds great. Although I would love to get a shower in the morning, if possible." "Yeah, let me show you on the map where they are." She walked over to the large map of the campground tacked onto a large bulletin board above the counter where it joined the wall. Eddie mirrored her movement on his side of the counter and looked to where she was pointing. "Here's where we are at the office, of course. You'll want to take this loop and most likely park here near the trail that goes up to the stone wall." "The stone wall?" The attendant frowned with an amused grin. "You haven't heard about the old rock wall?" Eddie shrugged and shook his head. "You'll want to check it out while you're here. One of the great mysteries of the area. It's a pretty short hike uphill, just to the top of the ridge. There's a historic marker. You'll see it. But anyway, you can leave your vehicle there and hike down this trail to your site." Eddie nodded as he followed her finger on the map, silently cursing Mr. D's choice of sites since the others were clearly closer to the parking lot. "Now, you could park down here, where the showers are, but the hike to your site is a lot longer that way. I figured you'd probably want to stay up here and then drive down to the other parking lot near the cabins and trailer sites to get to the showers." "Sounds like a plan," Eddie said. "How much do I owe you?" "It's $10 a night. How long do you plan to stay?" "Good question," Eddie thought. "Probably just the one night," he said. "Well, if you change your mind, it's not a problem. Just come back in and pay for the extra night." Eddie nodded again, and she added, "Checkout's at 1 p.m., same as check-in. Any questions?" "I've got a dog. I'm assuming that's okay?" "It is at that site. There's no extra charge, but we ask that you keep it on a leash when not in your tent." "Cool." Eddie paid, and they stood and smiled awkwardly at each other as they waited for the receipt to make its slow progress from the printer. Once it was printed, she handed it to Eddie along with a pamphlet containing a map of the campground and the rules and regulations. "Don't forget to check out the wall. Just keep an eye out for the moon-eyed people," she said with a smile. "Excuse me?" "The moon-eyed people. That's what the Cherokee called the pale-skinned people who may have built the wall." "Why moon-eyed?" "Legend says they might have been cave dwellers, probably sensitive to the sunlight." "Uh-huh," Eddie nodded. "Well, thanks." Eddie gave her a little wave with the pamphlet and exited the office. Moon-eyed people. Might be another interesting night. That concludes this episode of Wraiths of the Appalachian. Next week's episode is called The Moon-Eyed People. Perhaps you had an inkling that that would be the case. Perhaps not. Inklings aren't always what they're cracked up to be. May I remind you that all of the music you hear in Wraiths of the Appalachian was written and performed by Mombi Uhlman, and that you can stream the album that inspired this entire series online at mombiuhlman.bandcamp.com. It's easy to find. It has the same name, Wraiths of the Appalachian. We're clever that way. And speaking of clever, did you know that you can subscribe to my bi-weekly newsletter by downloading a free horror story? Well, you can. Just go to my website at davidallenvoiles.com for the link. That's all for now. See you soon, once again, in the dark corners.